Hi, Mr. Provinciano.
This is I.
Hi, this is Derek Hopkins, Dead Pics Alive, also Nick, a.k.a. Lord of the Living Room, is on the line with us today. Welcome to the show. Thank you for gracing us with this interview.
Oh, thanks very much. Glad to be here.
Now, before we get into it, I give a little bit of overview for your game. Okay. Because last time I checked, it was actually called Brian Provinciano's Retro City Rampage, correct?
Yeah, so, I mean, kind of like Sid Meier, I threw my name on there, but the justification is that I have done 99% of the game pretty much, so, yeah, I feel okay about doing that.
Well, this isn't a one-man operation. Is this a one-man operation you're doing here over at V-Blank?
It's mostly. I've got three guys doing music, one does sound effects as well, and I've also got an additional pixel artist, although I've still done about 95% of the art.
Wow, so you're a jack of all trades.
Yeah, I've been in the industry for a long time, and I've been interested in all sides of it. So now I'm making things happen and juggling not just the actual programming and art and all of that, but now juggling all of the business side as well. So it's a busy but interesting day every day.
You're like, why? Look, you for years and years, you're like, looked at everybody. You're like, why is this guy telling me what to do? This goofy producer doesn't know what makes a good game. I know what makes a good game. You left and you started V-Blank? Is that how?
Yeah, well, it was, I mean, I love the places I worked with in the past.
And, which were?
Pardon me?
Where did you come? What's your background?
I worked at the games industry places I was programming at were Digital Eclipse, and that became Backbone. So I worked there for quite a number of years, worked on games like Sonic Rivals 1 and 2 on the PSP, worked on a lot of the emulation games, so the Mortal Kombat games on PSP and some old Genesis games on PS2. Even when I started there, actually, I was working on those joystick games, if you remember the Jax TV plug-and-play games.
Oh, I remember those.
Yeah, so I worked on there. And then later on, I started working on some stuff, some XBLA-type stuff. And from there, I did some contracting at a company called Jet Black on Wii stuff. And then I eventually went to Propaganda Games. They're the guys that did Turok, and I was working on the new Pirates of the Caribbean game, which is coming out, I think it's coming out next year sometime.
Wait, is there a new Pirates of the Caribbean movie coming out?
With the movie, so I'm not sure the correlation between... Okay. I know there was talk of that movie. I'm not sure what the status is, though.
Which joystick game did you do? Because my mom actually got me a joystick game way back when, probably like 4 or 5 years ago. But the problem was I had just gotten a PS3 at the time. And yeah. She was like, Derek, look at what I got you. And I was like, yeah, thanks, Ma. And then I think she played it. I didn't play it. Which joystick games did you work on?
Well, unfortunately, I worked on five of them. And
unfortunately, they're actually great. But I mean,
Defender's awesome. Yeah.
Well, oh, Defender came out? Did Defender come out?
I think so. I think that was on a Williams pack. I think came a Williams joystick.
Wow, I have to find that. I worked on that, and as far as I knew, it went unreleased. So, wow.
I all can't see them unreleasing Defender of all things. That's like the granddaddy.
Well, I'll tell you the story behind that. I think enough time has passed that it could be public knowledge. So I was working on a pack of five games. And when I started the project, it was effectively someone else had been on the project before I started. And so when I started, it was behind schedule and it pretty much was already supposed to be done. So I was working on it. It was just crazy stressful and although fond memories now. And then they decided, okay, we're not going to make an actual joystick anymore. We're going to make it these cards because they were going to turn these joystick plug and play games into somewhat of a console. And so then they decided, okay, now we're going to do these cards. And then they decided, okay, now we're going to split it up. So we're going to put two on one card and three on the other or something like that. And then, and when it finally came down to it, we were finally finishing up the game and we were getting this call like, it's got to be out for manufacturing tomorrow. And with time zones, tomorrow is tonight. And so like the pressure was on, it was crazy. And we finally just like got it done, shipped, sent to the publisher. Didn't hear from them for like a month and was like, what the heck? And then later on, then they contacted us again and they were like, okay, yeah, actually we decided we're now going to put it all on one card. And, And at that point, it was just I was on another project, and fortunately, someone else was dealing with that. But ever since then, I just assumed that it was never released, and disappointed about that.
Did you feel like, did you feel shunned? Did you feel anger? What did you feel at that moment when you found out?
Well, it was disappointing because you always want to have that project that you worked on in your hands to stick on your shelf or stick on your wall just as a bit of a trophy. And so I was disappointed mainly just not having the piece on my shelf.
Is that one of the reasons why you decided to, like, situations like that, why you decided to go on your own and start your own development company? Or is that one of the, why did you decide to start V-Blank?
I think the main thing was just that, well, V-Blank came out of the fact that I was just the game itself, Retro City Rampage, that I wanted to do that. And of course, in order to become licensed for the consoles, you need to incorporate your company, you need to get an office and all of that. And, but as that happened, now I've learned the ropes and now it's actually a company and, there'll be a lot of future titles as well. It came out of just before I actually started at Digital Eclipse, I had been messing around on the NES-style GTA game, and I continued to work on it part-time all of those years. And then eventually it got to the point, though, where it was even the past few companies I was at, I was still just itching all day long wanting to work on my own game instead of the games I was working on. And even if some of them were kind of fun, at the end of the day, I was just enjoying Retro City Rampage way, way, way more. And I just wanted to put 100% of my time into it. Like 100% of my time into something I absolutely love, rather than 50 into that and 50 into something that I'm kind of indifferent about.
Now, were you excited, like, when, because, like, when you first started, just a few years ago, actually, it was almost impossible to get a game on a console. And now, all of a sudden, almost every major console, I think every major console has a way for not just small developers, but people with no development background at all can start getting into it. Did that, like, open up a lot of doors where all of a sudden you didn't have to go in and get five dev kits or anything? You could program it at home? Or how did you get a dev kit? Do you have, like, a...
Yeah, I've got the dev kits, and it's fantastic that they're a lot cheaper now than they used to be. They used to be a heck of a lot more expensive. Some of them were actually 10 times the price 5 years ago for certain dev kits. So it's definitely a lot more approachable. Having the industry experience was key to getting licensed. Although now that they've got the Xbox community games and stuff, the indie games.
Don't get me started on that indie games yeah. thing.
Well, it's opening the doors for some people, which is nice since they don't need to get all of the rest of the strings that are required for the full-blown games.
I have a couple of games out on indie game. The worst part about the indie games is that Microsoft seems to bury them. It seems like they don't want anybody to know about it for some strange reason.
It's tough, the balance of getting your game noticed. At the end of the day, it's the unfortunate truth is you just have to, even on WiiWare, you have to market it yourself. You have to get the name out there yourself.
You have to do the work. I understand.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. You think it's more about who you know or what you've done when you're dealing with the Wii? Just the industry in general.
what you've done, definitely it's, and this is what I recommend to so many people when they, it's becoming a lot easier now, but especially a few years ago, if someone wanted to make a game for the Wii or something, I'd always tell them, get a job in the industry first, because not only, although it's harder now because there aren't as many jobs, but having the experience in the industry, that just gets your foot in the door to creating your own company and getting it licensed easily. And the second thing is you learn so many skills and you meet so many people from working in the industry that you wouldn't necessarily if you just decided to go straight from school to be an indie developer or straight from books to a homebrew developer.
So you're saying game first, connections later.
I mean, if people can get into the industry working for another company, I definitely recommend doing that first as opposed to trying to start their own company from the get-go. It's definitely been beneficial to me in every way imaginable.
What are some of the pitfalls that you encountered being a small indie developer?
Well, the first was taking the leap. to become indie. That was very difficult. It had been on my mind for years, and I had been saving up for years to have the runway to be able to just live off my savings and finish this game. But the risk of just giving up the health benefits, giving up the steady paycheck, giving up the ability to book time off, all of these things were very difficult to give up. And there were rough times going through it. Just if you're just just every game through development has many roadblocks, and when those come up and you just don't have security, you're like wondering, did I do the right thing, and all of that. And finally, I reached the point where now the game's announced, everyone loves it, everyone's played it and love it, and I did make the right move, and it's very comforting. But I can say even earlier this year there were some rough patches of when money started getting a little low and everything, and it going indie is very stressful, there's no doubt about it, and you just got to push through.
Now, you said everybody liked it. You guys made a big splash over at PAX.
It was, I'm just excited that everyone loves it as much as I do. It was definitely nice to see that. And of course, you also learn a few things. You see how people are playing and you get inspired in new ways that you can improve things, make it more usable.
Well, you didn't go back and start changing stuff on the game after you saw people play the PAX. You'll never finish like that.
Oh, for sure. No, it's just certain things like seeing how people are using the controls and things like that. The tiny tuning bits that just make it to perfect it, like realizing that the cover system is good.
Cover system. Stealth...
Oh, yeah, we could get into that. But the stealth, for example, I need to do a bit of tuning on the stealth mission just to make it a little more clear what direction the guys are looking in and things like that. And so you see as people play them, you catch these type of things, and then you can go back to the office and make them so that once it's prime time, once the world is downloading it, then it's flawless. Hopefully, that's the goal.
Are you a fan of the old school GTAs, like GTA 2, GTA London on the PC?
Absolutely, and way before GTA 3 even came out, I was a huge fan of them, and I was playing them just every night. I would come home and boot up GTA 2 and play it, and the funniest part about that is I don't know how many hours I logged into that game, considering I played it every day for who knows how long, like a year straight. Yet I almost never played the missions. It was just fun enough to just drive around and cause chaos somehow for all of those hours.
Did you like setting the Elvis guys on fire, the little Buddhist monks I would come across?
Yeah, those tricks were fun. I think one of my fondest memories was there was a prison in GTA 2 that you could get to if you could jump the car just right over the ramp, over the water, to the top of the catwalk, get out of your vehicle without falling in the water, and then you'd be in this prison, and there were just hundreds of guys that you could just attack.
And you didn't feel bad about attacking them because they were bad people, because they were already in prison.
Exactly.
So it was okay.
And there's a flamethrower in this game too, isn't there? Is that a homage to GTA 2?
I definitely like the animation is inspired by it. The game's a mashup of everything, so inspiration from GTA 2, some inspiration of GTA 3, and then of course all of the other games.
Well, you start naming
Bionic Commando is in there too.
If you start naming all the games that you've been inspired by this game, we'll be here for a year and a half, because there's a little bit just in your when you were explaining some of like the stealth missions, cover system, the GTA style. There's Frogger in here. You snuck Frogger. There's Zelda stuff in here. Like what are some of your favorite parodies that you put in here or inspiration that you have in here?
Well, I think one of my favorite parodies actually is the TV show Saved by the Bell.
What?
I haven't actually, I guess, highlighted that much yet. So.
You mean there's a Kelly Kapowski in here I can see?
Oh, yeah. And
is Screech in there? Is Screech a playable character?
He's not a playable character necessarily, although you will be able to get his hair cut. Because we've got a few barber shops around town. We've got Salon Stamos for the high-end haircuts. We've got Mullet Clips for some tough guy cuts, and then we've got the action series Barbershop inspired by the old Urban Champion game, and that's kind of a rundown place where you're going to get your bowl cut and really bad dues. You can go to the barbershop to customize your character. Just another one of the like many things that you can do in the game. And throughout the game, as you do certain things, you'll unlock new haircuts. And so you unlock the Screech one when you finally meet that guy. Or his name is actually Squeak in the game.
Now, what are some of the actual gameplay features that you're taking from different games? Because, of course, the GTA stuff is what's most prevalent because of the overhead driving stuff. Hmm. But you also have, like, Contra stuff. That's the Bionic Commando stuff with the guy with a bionic arm. Like I said, Frogger. I thought I saw one scene reminded me. I was looking at videos. Looked a lot like the old Commando game. And I was like, wow.
That's right. There's inspiration there for sure. The sandbags taking cover behind them. One of the first missions is really a mashup of Commando, Bionic Commando, Jackal, and Metal Gear all rolled into one. Even some Ikari Warriors in there.
Yes. Oh, yes.
Yeah. See, I saw Jackal, but I was like, that's Top Gunner. But now I know it's Jackal, so I feel stupid. I'm sorry.
Well, there's inspiration in a lot of games. Like, as I was mentioning to someone before, Zombie Ate My Neighbors, even. There isn't particularly a reference to that in the game, but it was something that I'd remembered from back in the day, even though it was Super Nintendo. And being a top-down urban game, I definitely looked at it for art style inspiration.
Now, are there just gameplay elements inspired from other games, or would like other characters from games make a short cameo appearance?
Oh yeah, well there's Major Lee Solid. So he's the guy that you're working for when you're infiltrating the base. He's kind of a disgruntled guy. The Bionic Cop started coming in as they were building him, who's a fusion of Bionic Commando and RoboCop, and kind of rendered him obsolete. So now he's disgruntled, working at the Ammo Gun Co. And you're working for him. He's helping you infiltrate the base. And then, of course, the base fights back. And the first boss that you encounter is the Bionic Cop, which has the bionic arm, and he's bulletproof. So you've got to throw explosives at him, such as the barrels which drop. And so to keep going on here, that's one of the mechanics where you're picking up these barrels and tossing them at him.
Oh, all right.
Now we have a chat room and people also sending some questions on the website, depixlive.com, a little plug there. Slowpants asks, when did the team decide to make the game more on the satirical side instead of going more serious? Was it from the get-go or...
That's an excellent question. When it originally started out, it evolved from the other project that was running on the NES that was inspired by GTA 3 exactly. And as I was developing that, I started to come up with the funny idea of putting these funny buildings in that were referencing other games. The first two of them were from adventure games, from Leisure Suit Larry and Monkey Island. So in both cases, I put the bars from those two games into the GTA 3 style world, in fact. And that kind of started to inspire things, so I started to do some missions that were playing off of those characters, working for a lovable loser, similar to Leisure Suit Larry and so forth. But still at that point, it was more just referencing and kind of a little bit funny. The real light bulb moment was when I was working on Jump Collision and determining what happens when one pedestrian is on top of another pedestrian. And so you could either make it where you're standing on top of them, or you could make it where you slide off. But that was when I realized, why not stomp them like Mario? And that was the big spark, almost accidental moment that created what the game is today.
Now, can you car surf in the game? I remember that's a feature of a lot of top-down 2D games back in the day. You could just jump on a car and just sort of slide along it. As long as you're on it, you would keep moving.
That's not in the game, although you can jump over cars, but that's definitely something I enjoyed in GTA 3.
Oh, yeah. So much fun.
Now, in chat, they're asking if this is going to be, because so everybody doesn't have a Wii, well, not yet. Soon everybody will have a Wii the way they're selling. But some people still only have the PS3 or Xbox. Any chance it's going to be a PSN or a XBLA release?
I can say 100% for sure it will be on at least two of the three consoles, if not all three. but I can't say which one or ones yet other than the Wii.
I'm going to say Xbox.
Yeah, I'm going to go the same way.
Yeah.
I'm targeting a simultaneous-ish release on at least the two of them.
Whoa, wait, so this just, because I'm, from everything I've heard, you're planning this coming out Christmas, December?
I was targeting December. It's still up in the air. I mean, that was just a target. It probably will come out early next year, which will be disappointing to a lot of people I know, but it's going to have at least, it might have about 20 more missions or something. So if we don't get it out for that initial target, it's going to be a bigger game and a better game, and that'll hopefully make people happy.
Well, that sounds wow! You got your corporate speak down already. Like, yes, it's going to be delayed, but it's going to be a bigger, better game because of the delay. So don't be too upset.
Yeah. We're taking the
well, it was kind of disappointing a bit that I did say that I was targeting December, because I was kind of targeting December, but there's a lot of stuff that you've got to deal with. When your game is effectively done, it still has to go through a long process of being tested by the consoles, verified that it's robust, good to go. It's got to wait in the queue to get on the downloadable service, and all of these things that are somewhat beyond my control. And so,
saying that your game is being held up by that goofy Robin Hood game on WiiWare? Is that what's going on?
No, there's none of the consoles are doing anything that are particularly holding up the game, but it's just in general, when a game is done, there's still a waiting period to go through the certification and all of that. And with that being the case, it should hopefully be done December, but it probably won't be out then because, of the process.
Were there ever any thoughts of putting on a DS? The graphics look like they will fit almost perfectly on a DS screen. Were there any thoughts of getting on a DS, or did you always want it to be on a console on a TV?
Well, it's launching on the consoles, and it will be exclusive on the consoles. However, it's not to say that there won't be sequels or spin-offs down the road, maybe a year from now, on the handhelds.
So that also answers what's up next for V-Blank. You guys going to continue to a trilogy maybe? Or
I would absolutely love to do spin-offs and sequels, and I'm confident that I will have the opportunity. It's all up to you guys hopefully you all buy the game, and it will give us the opportunity. I feel that the door has just been completely open. Once you start riffing off of these characters, TV shows, and all of that, once the ball's rolling and you get the momentum, the ideas just flow like crazy. And now it's a tough call. Like, you come up with so many ideas, like, oh, that was a funny show. It would be funny if that guy was mixed in here. But you just realize, no, I've got to ship this game as it is, get it done, but leave that for the sequel.
So would you ever consider going, say, like a Scott Pilgrim route and just going with a whole movie and comic sort of thing, or just silly games?
Well, you mean like mashing stuff into the game, or do you mean taking Retro City Rampage and doing more than just games with it?
Oh, I mean like expanding beyond its video game universe.
It actually is more than a video game universe. As I mentioned, the Saved by the Bell stuff, so it riffs off of TV shows and movies as well, and even the pop culture of the era through dialogue and stuff.
Oh, no, I meant like an actual movie.
Oh, an actual Retro City Rampage movie.
Yeah,
wow.
Yeah, like a comic book, because a lot of games are doing that now. It's true to a little comic book here and there.
Oh, that would be phenomenal. Definitely too early to do anything with that, and definitely too indie as well, just budget-wise. But hopefully the opportunities like that will come out, and I'll get some offers. And I think that this would fit perfectly well as some sort of movie or something. It's wacky comedy and just mashup of everything. Just it could be the next Simpsons. Wow.
Now, there seems to be a resurgence in retro stuff in the past, like, just a couple of years. And just a few weeks ago, the Scott Pilgrim game came out, which it's not really like your game, but they do have a lot in common, where they riff off of different gameplay styles and have the 8-bit look. What do you think about the new return to retro, I guess you would call it?
I think it's great. I finally just got around to playing Scott Pilgrim less than a week ago, and I was really impressed. It's got gorgeous presentation, and they did a great job on it.
But your game's better.
Yeah, well, yeah, that's the only thing I'll nitpick on it is just the fact that beat 'em ups in general are quite linear, and I don't enjoy them as much as I did when I was young. They just feel too repetitive, but as per the presentation and all of that, they did a gorgeous job. But as for the retro stuff in general, it was actually quite crushing to me to be up front here putting the cards on the table to see Mega Man 9, because I had been working on the Grand Theft Auto game, which was the precursor to Retro City Rampage, years and years before that. And but of course, being one guy working on this game part-time while still juggling crunch time in the industry, it was just not going to be finished for a while. And then to see Mega Man 9 come out, where the whole world is like, wow, what a brilliant idea, doing this 8-bit style game. And I was like, dang it, I was the first. And so that was kind of a big moment for me. And I was disappointed that my game didn't come out before Mega Man 9. But, I mean, going back to what you were mentioning with the opportunities now available with downloadable games and stuff, now is kind of the perfect time anyways. The console downloadable spaces they're really mature now. They're fleshed out. And the opportunities today versus 2 years ago, 3 years ago are a lot better anyways.
So when you saw Mega Man 9, you kind of thought to yourself, well, you know what, maybe I do have something here. So was that your reaffirmation?
Well, yeah. Not to give Mega Man 9 all the credit, but I was I had already been starting to think about going off and doing my own thing. And after Backbone, I was doing a contract gig at another game company. And I gave my notice to them. I still wasn't like ready to quite take the leap. So what I had done was I gave them my notice that I wanted to leave. And then I lined up the second job, which was at Propaganda Games, but spaced it out so that I'd have 6 weeks to work on Retro City Rampage full time. And
you actually thought you were going to finish this entire game in 6 weeks.
Well, really? Not entirely finished. My hope was to get the ball rolling so much in the 6 weeks that it would be just downhill from there. But of course, with the super ambitious project that it is, that wasn't realistic. But it was good and bad taking that 6 weeks off, because at the time, still not ready to take the indie leap. It gave me the security, like I'll have these 6 weeks off to work on it full time, and then I'll have my steady paycheck again. But the problem was that taking those 6 weeks off, I saw the light, and that was another. So the first aha moment was Mega Man 9 coming out, and the second was taking the 6 weeks to work on it full time. And I was just like, wow, I do have something here. This is what I need to be doing. And so I stayed at Propaganda for about 9 months, maybe 9.5 months. And after that, it was just like, I just had to give my notice. There was no going back. There was kind of no going back after that first 6 weeks. I just knew that it was the thing I needed to be doing.
Once you kiss the supermodel, you can never go back to the grocery store.
Totally.
Yeah, I see what you're saying. Now, are you looking into, like, for the Wii, everybody, I know that this game just uses the regular control. Like, were you interested in like bringing some of the next gen control schemes to like a retro type game, or did you say this needs to play like an old school game?
Well, the good news is I do support different control methods. You can use the D-pad or the it supports actually the Wii remote, the classic controller, and the GameCube controller. Ooh. I prefer the classic controller, of course, and with that you can either drive with the D-pad super retro style like Jackal, where it's up is up and left is left, or you can use the steering method, which is the one I prefer. It's less retro, but you can do a lot more, like donuts in your car and things like that. And with that, it actually supports either using the face button, like the PS2 GTA 3, or you can use the shoulder buttons like GTA 4. And so, yeah, any control method you choose, you can use.
About the music in the game. 8-bit music? I haven't really heard any music, unfortunately, I'm sorry to say. Is it 8-bit music?
Yeah, it's NES Authentic, and I'll be rolling out some tunes. I could actually... I wonder if it'll work here on Skype. Playing a tune here.
Play it. DBL exclusive.
Let's see if I can get the title track playing. I'm not sure if it'll record it or not, but if it does, then you can hear it. So I've got three music guys contributing, one of whom does sound effects as well. So the first guy is Leonard Paul. He's been in the industry since the Sega Genesis, and he's done all of the sound effects and a good chunk of the music. And then we've got Vert, who is just famous among the chiptune community for all of his stuff, from NES-style stuff that he's done to even newer games like Contra 4 and Red Faction 2, Batman the Brave and the Bold. And then we've got a third guy, Matt Creamer. He goes by Norn Rad, and he's also done a lot of great stuff. So let's see. I'm not sure if it'll record on Skype here, but I can start playing the title theme right now.
Please let it work. This will be huge. No, I don't hear it.
No, we don't hear it yet.
Did you hear that?
No.
No. Okay. Well, I guess. Yeah, I can send it your way to append to this for the archive version.
Oh, that'd be great. So it will be a DPL. It is still a DPL exclusive.
It's still unheard.
Now what are some of the, you have not only top down and platformer, you have the, I'm guessing you're going to have the classic like ice scenes, the water level stuff like that in the game.
Yeah.
Anything you decided not to put in? You're like, you know what? Nobody, everybody hated this. I'm not putting it in. Like, what did you throw out?
Well, actually, everyone hated it, and I put it in. The Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 1 water level where electric seaweed and coral that eats you and it was just horrible. But I do put a spin on it and make it less frustrating. So hopefully it can replace the frustrated memories that the entire world has with new ones that where they've got the power now. Because in the original game, you were disarming these bombs. And in this one, you're arming the bombs. So the tables have turned, and you're going to kind of live it the way you wanted to live it.
I saw that bit in the trailer, and I'm hoping that you... are you talking about the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles scene where you're swimming around in that small little space, and if you touch the sides of it, you instantly get shocked?
Yes, although it's not quite as tight as that other game, and you've got a little bit more... more that you can do about these problems now.
Oh boy! Yeah. Thank God.
Yeah. So kind of rewriting history, and so it's one of those things got to get worse before they get better. At first, it's like, oh no, not that level. But then, yes, finally, I can get my revenge on that level.
Whose idea was it for the PAX? I was excited to see the Sega Master System cartridge, but the retro style cartridge was that you that came up with the idea and put boxes together?
The plan was to come up with the NES-style cartridge with its box, and then the other thing that was super close to my heart was if anyone remembers those generic game rental cases with the guy punching on them, where it just had some guy punching, and then it just said Permastruct, Permanent Video Game Instructions, and had the game's title in some generic font. And then inside, a really cheesy thing like, the entire world's in danger, blah, 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 use the controls. And that was something that I really wanted to do. And but the funny thing is that the Master System one is what got all the attention. And that was kind of a great story behind that. It was kind of done on a whim. I had gotten the artist to do the Permastruct art, and then the next day he sends me an email and he's like, hey, check out what I just did. And he had thrown together that Wonder Boy inspired Master System piece of art where it's the guy jumping on the guy's head with an Uzi. And he just did it for fun, just on a whim, and it was so brilliant that I said, no, okay, we're going to print this one too. And so I got him to redo it in high resolution and finished putting together the rest of the box. And sure enough, the Master System was the biggest hit of the whole show, whereas the NES boxes cost an arm and a leg to get printed, and people were kind of just like, oh, that's cool, but this Master System thing, wow!
I had a Master System. I know how is that's when I saw that, I was like, is he going to make it for the Master System? Because I'll dig mine out.
Yeah, it's I'm pretty happy with how that turned out. And it's great. I guess the big thing was that I had to do more than just the box and the cartridge, because I had to one-up Mega Man 9, of course. And that was where the rental thing came from, but then also threw in the Master System. So,
well, I'm not saying anything, but Halo Reach actually put out a 2600 version of Halo. I'm just saying.
Yeah, and actually, one of the founders of Digital Eclipse, he actually is running a new company now called Code Mystics. And he's actually the guy who created the emulator, which runs Halo 2600 in the browser. So you can play it in the web browser, and that's thanks to him.
That's cool.
Yeah.
26, is that what, see, now, as much as technology has come forward, and you can talk on a phone to somebody in China on a phone the size of a pack of matches and everything, what gets me is that you in a web browser can fully emulate an Atari 2600 perfectly. On a browser page, not even that's incredible to me.
It's quite remarkable.
So, let me think. I don't want to keep you too long because I know you need to get back and complete. Is the game complete now? Is the game 100%, or are you still working on
most of the? Pretty much all of the art and tech is done, and a whole lot of missions are in there. But there's still a whole bunch more that I want to get in there, and. So that's what I'm working on right now, but I've got 100-page design doc with pretty much all of them outlined, and so it's just a matter of plowing through that document and scripting them up into the game.
And people can keep track of the development over at your blog on RetroCityRampage.com?
Yeah, that's right. And then I do recommend they also follow it on Twitter at RetroCR and become fans on Facebook at RetroCityRampage, the fan page as well. And people can ask questions on there and I'll respond to them. And, and it's just great. A good way to keep track of everyone and keep them in the loop.
And people can get it on, at the very minimum, two of the three major consoles. So go out there and just buy all three consoles and you'll be sure to get it.
Absolutely.
Now you have no excuse.
And also, I'm gonna when it's closer to development, hit you up for some free copies too. I'm just saying.
Oh, totally. And did you get yourself some of the swag?
No, I unfortunately wasn't at PAX, so
I've got a few left. Not a lot, but I got a few left, so I'll make sure to send you some.
Oh, that would be great.
Oh,
yeah. Especially with your love for Master System, gotta give you that.
Look, here's the thing. I will tell you a quick Master System. I know I said I was gonna let you go, but you brought up Master System, so this is your fault. When the Nintendo NES came out, I got a Nintendo NES, and I got that robot, and I expected that robot to play games with me, because on the TV, it made it like it was going to play games with me, and I got it, and I was so mad that it didn't play games with me, that I didn't play the Nintendo for like 4 or 5 months. I told my mom, I was like, Ma, I want the Master System. The Master System's way better, and she finally got me a Sega Master. In the middle of a school play, this is no lie, in the middle of a school play, I played Santa Claus. I was supposed to say, I'm going to go get all the little boys all the presents and toy trucks they want. Instead, I said, I'm going to go get all the little boys a Sega Master System because that's what they really want for Christmas. In the middle of a school play, I said that. And my mom got me the Sega Master System, and I loved that thing. I thought it was the greatest. I had 3D glasses, the gun.
Yeah.
Every time somebody said, oh, it came out on NES, it's like, no, you don't even understand. The Sega Master System has mega
gun,
They have mega cartridges with Rocky. Yeah. Rocky's way better than Mike Tyson. Well, I actually told people Rocky was better than Mike Tyson's punch, and I feel kind of bad about that, but I remember saying that. Outrun, please, Rad Racer compared to Outrun, there's no comparison. So when I saw the Sega Master System cartridge, it brought all that back to me, so thanks for that.
It's true what they say, Sega does what Nintendo don't.
That was Genesis. It's true. That was Genesis term. I think Master System was it Now You're Playing With Power? No, it wasn't. That was Nintendo.
That was Nintendo, and then they had Now You're Playing With Portable Power, I think, on the Game Boy.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I think Master System was Get It, Got It Good. Get It, Got It Good. Okay, now we'll be here for all day. Brian Provinciano, Retro City Rampage. Go to RetroCityRampage.com. Follow him on Twitter, RetroRCR.
Retro CR on Twitter.
Oh, yeah. Retro CR on Twitter and on Facebook. Type in Retro City. Facebook's like its own little world now, so just type in Retro City Rampage, and it'll pop up. Thanks a lot. Did I forget to cover anything, Mr. Provinciano?
No, but yeah, I'd be happy to do an interview in the future as well. So whatever we missed, people can keep sending in the questions, and we can round up another one later.
Thank you very much.
Beautiful.
People are throwing me questions. This is what I don't like about our audience. I'm sorry, Mr. Provinciano. I'll have to rant a little bit.
I'd be happy. I can stay here longer if you need.
This is what I don't like about our audience. This entire time I've been like, send in questions. They sent questions in before, but this time they're like, oh, this is great, blah, blah, blah. But no questions. And as I say I'm about to leave, two guys say, Dungeon Master, Dungeon Buster says, are there any plans for a demo for Retro City?
There definitely will be a demo. I'm not sure whether the Wii version will get one. It's possible. Because I know that's... it's not as built into the system, but there definitely will be a demo on the other console or consoles.
Aha, that you have just confirmed Xbox Live Arcade. Thank you very much. You don't have to say it, but...
No, I haven't confirmed anything. Okay, that's cool. As far as I... Because there are demos on both of those other platforms.
Oh, yeah, sure. Oh, yeah, of course. Frank Branches says, any other hidden Easter eggs in the games? That was a big thing in games back then. With hidden Easter eggs, what'd you stick in
there? There are, but if they're hidden Easter eggs, then I can't quite tell people. But one thing that has come out is that there is the light gun, which you'll get once you complete the game. And it's a one-hit kill, which is why you've got to complete the game before you get it. But it will really bring back Duck Hunt memories for people.
Can we use the Konami code?
Yeah, actually you can. That was playable at PAX, the Konami code. It gives you all of the weapons.
Oh, yeah. There you go. See, I'm going to buy the game just based on that.
There will be other codes as well, but that's the big one, all weapons with the Konami code.
The Endlings Bandit wants to know, what about a soundtrack release? Big-time artists on the soundtrack. Is that going to be available separately?
Yeah, definitely. We hope to get some sort of soundtrack out there, especially since there's... well over two hours of music, coming on 2.5 hours in the game. We've got three artists in there, and they're just phenomenal. They've done great work, and it hits all different genres. So some of the music is inspired by actual games, and some of it is just inspired by hip-hop, death metal, you name it. We've got stuff in there.
I can't wait to hear a death metal chiptune. I want to hear
that. Actually, so for the fans, to satisfy them right now, if they Google Norin Rad, NORRINRADD, Norin Rad, his name's Matt Creamer, and he's actually the guy who's done the death metal tunes, and he's released some of them, because some of them are existing tracks that we've put into the game, and so you can Google that and find some of them. And then, of course, another one of the artists is Vert. His name's Jake Kaufman, biglionmusic.com, and he's got a lot of great stuff there. He did a brilliant NES remix of Thriller. It's just phenomenal. Of course, that's not in the game because of licensing, but he's done a lot of great stuff. And then the other guy is Leonard Paul, who I'll be releasing some of his music very shortly for people to preview.
And here is something from Norn Rad real quick. I hope this plays. There ain't never seen.
So, of course, in the game it doesn't have the lyrics, but that's his experiment with throwing lyrics on top of the NES-type tunes. It's definitely a breath of fresh air.
And here is something from Vert. Let me see if I can get it. That brings me back. I like that.
Well, it's funny, actually, since the original song was done kind of synthesized a bit, a lot of it's somewhat authentic.
Yeah.
Really
recreates. That sounds genuine to me.
That's Thriller right there. Okay, I got stuck. Okay. I was, you guys didn't see me, but I was sitting there dancing like
that. Did I just hear a wolf howl?
That was a digitized wolf howling, yes. digitized Michael Jackson.
That's quality right there.
Okay, thank you very much, Mr. Provinciano, Brian Provinciano, the lead developer and head muckety muck over at V Blank Games. The first game from the studio will be Retro City Rampage, coming out very soon on your favorite platform, and more to come.
Thanks very much. Right, it's great talking to you.
Right, nice to have you, sir.
Bye. Thanks.